Romans chapter 8, verse number 5. We're going to the book of Romans, and tonight we're in chapter 8 and verse number 5. And we'll read down to verse number 11. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. For if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Let's stop for a moment and pray. Heavenly Father, I do pray you bless this preaching time now. Perhaps there's still some folks on their way. I don't know, but if they are, get them here safely. We do pray for those in special need of prayer, particularly Sister Lynn and the baby. We do pray that the pain from the incision won't be so bad and she'll get some rest. We're glad to go on home Friday. And I pray maybe tomorrow, if I can go over there and pray with them, try to encourage them on Thanksgiving Day. And we do pray for the Lubins and so on that are the big family there, Bob and Sister and Pam and all of them down in Florida. I'm glad they were able to get away for a few days, get them back safely this Friday. Keep your hand on them tonight. So we pray, Lord, that you bless this preaching time now. I pray you help me as I endeavor to expound the Word of God. And may the Spirit of God help me to preach it right. May the Spirit of God speak to hearts tonight. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 deals with our deliverance from the power of indwelling sin. You'll notice the repetition with the flesh. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, being carnally minded. They that are in the flesh can't please God, and so on. That's talking about indwelling sin. That's what the flesh is. That sin nature that we're born with. Now, this chapter deals with victory over sin, deliverance from the power of indwelling sin, victory over the flesh. Now, union with Christ means victory over indwelling sin. Being in Christ, I'm not going to spend too much time reviewing. We were in Romans 8 last week also, but if you remember back in chapter 8, verse 1, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. To be in Christ Jesus means we are identified with Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's what it means to be in Christ. We enter into union with Christ by faith. That's how we get into Christ, by faith. We receive Christ when we're born again, and we enter into that union with Christ. We identify with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And union with Christ means victory over indwelling sin. Being in Christ means to be resting in Christ, abiding in Christ, depending upon Christ. It means trusting in Christ, believing in Christ. That's what it means to be in Christ. Now, Romans 8 teaches us that there's now no more condemnation for sin. Verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation. We're not condemned for our sin because we're in Christ. There's no more control by sin. Sin doesn't have control over us anymore. Verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life, that's the law of the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus, hath made me free. So we're free now from the law of sin and death. Now, doesn't mean the law of sin and death has disappeared. It just says there's a greater law in operation now. That's the law of the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So there's no more condemnation for sin. There's no more continuance, no more control by sin, and no more continuance in sin. If you go to verse 3, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we don't continue in sin. We walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. So there's no more continuance in sin, no more condemnation for sin, no more control by sin, no more continuance in sin. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're born again, we receive a new power, the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit delivers us from the law of sin and death, verse 2. Now, the law of sin and death is the authority that sin had over us before we were saved. That's why people that are not saved, they struggle with sin. They're consumed by sin. They're defeated by sin, you see. That's because the law of sin and death is the authority that sin has over them. And sin had over us, too, before we were saved. Then we were delivered from it. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Notice, he's the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's on account of the Holy Spirit's acting as a law of life, delivering us from the law of sin and death, that there's now no condemnation for sin, and no more control by sin. Now, I think I tried to say this last week, and I think I did, but in fact, I'll repeat it again tonight, because this is very important. This does not mean that the original law of sin and death has ceased to operate. It's still there. What the Bible does teach is that a higher law has now come into force. Verse 2 says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's a higher law than the law of sin and death. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We've been delivered from the law of sin and death because of this higher law, the law of the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and the law of sin and death are two contrary laws, you see? They're two contrary laws. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and the law of sin and death are a contrary one to the other. The former, that is, the law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, overcomes the latter. The law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus overcomes the law of sin and death by the principle of counteraction. I tried to explain that principle of counteraction last week. I'll try to briefly review tonight, because this is so important. An airplane, for example, we're talking about people taking airplanes, going to Florida, and going here and there. An airplane should fall from the sky. Why? The law of gravitation, right? Yes. The airplane should fall from the sky by the law of gravitation, but it stays up in the air. Why? The law of aerodynamics, you see? So the law of aerodynamics is a higher law than the law of gravitation. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is a higher law than the law of sin and death. We're not saying the law of sin and death goes away. It's still there. And for some people, it's still a real problem. But if you walk in the Spirit, it shouldn't be a problem. That's the key, you see? So the higher law sets us free from the lesser law. Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary says, to walk after the flesh means to indulge sensual appetites and to live in sin. So Romans 8:4 says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. We don't walk after the flesh. We walk after the Spirit. Because to walk after the flesh means to indulge in sensual appetites and to live in sin. We're not to walk after the flesh. We're to walk after the Spirit. And the conflict, walking after the flesh, walking after the Spirit, is described very vividly here in our text tonight. I just kind of spent a little time reviewing the first four verses. Now I'm going to get down to verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Then we have two different walks, two different lifestyles, you see. Let me say this too. I think I've spent time with it already, but it's definitely something that should be repeated. The conflict between the flesh and the Spirit that Paul described in Romans 7 is not a normal, typical Christian life. Some people think it is, but it's not. I'll repeat. Romans 7, the conflict. For example, verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not, for that which I hate, that I do, and that I do not, what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which is, I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. On and on, Paul describes this conflict, starting in verse 15, Romans 7:15, and on and on. That's not the daily life of a believer. That is a conflict that people enter into, but once they get victory over sin, and once they walk in the Spirit, that's behind them. And I hope it's behind you. I hope it's not something that you have to struggle with. And if you are, the key to victory is found in Romans 8, where we walk in the Spirit. You see? That is the solution. Now, my outline is very simple. I spent a lot of time just going over the first few verses and kind of bringing us up to where we're at right now. There's two natures. There's two tendencies. And then we're going to see two spheres. First, the two natures. Verse 5. They that are after the flesh, they that are after the Spirit. See, there's two different natures there. You could say they that are after the flesh, the carnal nature, and they that are after the Spirit, that's spiritual. Now, the two groups of people are described here. They that are after the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, which we just spent some time reviewing, the Apostle Paul has shown that unless a man is justified, he cannot possibly be sanctified. All right? A person can't be sanctified unless he's first justified. Or you could say, a person can't be sanctified unless he's saved. And people that try to be sanctified without being saved, you're going to be frustrated. It's not going to happen. So, Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 1 to 4, Paul showing a person cannot be justified, can't be sanctified unless he's first justified. Those that are in Christ Jesus, verse 1, those that are in Christ Jesus are not condemned. What does that mean? Well, they're declared righteous. They're justified. Why? Because they trusted Christ. They're saved. Because of their faith. See, so those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8, 1, says are not condemned. They've been declared righteous. They're justified. And they walk after the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, they're sanctified. They were dwelt by the Holy Spirit and they're walking after the Spirit. So you can't be sanctified unless you're first justified. And in fact, if you read Romans, it's very logical. Paul spends a couple of chapters talking about justification, and then when you get to chapter 6, 7, and 8, they deal with sanctification. It's all laid out very logically. Now, here in our text tonight, starting in verse 5, Paul shows that if a man is not sanctified, he cannot possibly be justified. I repeat that because some people maybe never heard that before or thought about it, but it's very important to understand. If a man is not sanctified, he cannot possibly be justified. Because sanctification is the evidence of justification. So when you see someone, he's living like a devil, and he's worldly and wicked as can be, and keeps on sinning all the time, that man's not saved. That's what the Bible teaches. You see, look at chapter 8, verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. They can't please God living like that. And then look at verse 9. But you're not in the flesh, meaning ye Christians are not in the flesh. Paul's addressing this to believers. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. So if you're saved, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now watch this. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, in other words, if any man is not indwelt by the Spirit of God, well, he says, he is none of his. What does that mean? He's not saved. So if a person doesn't have the Holy Spirit, then he's not saved. So I'll repeat. Justification has to come first. Sanctification is the evidence of justification. If a person is not sanctified, he's not saved. Now, we're talking about the two natures. Carnal nature, described here as the flesh, and then a spiritual nature, described as walking in the Spirit, indwelt by the Spirit. Now, the word flesh, look at chapter 8, verse 4. We walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And go to verse 8, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are dead, is not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. And verse 13, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. For if ye live after the flesh, you shall die. So we see the repetition here, flesh, flesh, flesh. That refers to our old Adamic nature, the nature we inherited from Adam, our sinful nature, the unsaved, unregenerate man who lives without God. The Bible says he minds the things of the flesh. That's all he knows. That's all he understands. The things of the flesh. He's never been saved. He's never been born again. And so all he understands is the flesh. You watch these television shows. I hope you don't watch the real bad ones, but you hear about them, and you see things in the paper. I mentioned last week this horrible Charlie Sheen. That's a man just totally in the flesh, you see? Just everything they know is the flesh. Immorality, dirtiness, you know, drinking, drugs. Everything's the flesh. Indulge in all sorts of wicked things. That's the flesh. So the flesh refers to our old Adamic nature. The unsaved, unregenerate man who lives his life without God minds the things of the flesh. Verse 5. In verse 6, we're told he's carnally minded. Carnally minded. The mind is always on sinful things, worldly things, bad things, you see. Not the things of God, because they're in the flesh. So the flesh here refers to our old Adamic nature. There's two natures that Paul is bringing out here. He says in verse 5, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. See, there's two natures there. Two different types of people, two groups of people. They that are after the flesh and they that are after the Spirit. Unfortunately, it seems like most people are after the flesh. That's the way it looks. I mentioned Charlie Sheen. He's certainly an outrageous example. Most sinners aren't as wicked as he is, but they're still pretty wicked. And if they're not saved, they're going to go to a place called hell. Doesn't matter how wicked they are. Some carnal people are kind of respectable. And they're not adulterers, or they're not immoral. They're happily married, and they even go to church, but they're not born again. They're still walking in the flesh. You need to understand that. It's not just the real wicked drunkards and adulterers and homosexuals that are in the flesh. People without Christ are in the flesh. People who haven't been born again. Because the flesh is that old Adamic nature. That's what the flesh refers to here. That's why they mind the things of the flesh. They're carnally minded. Regarding the reference to the flesh in Romans chapter 7 and 8, W.H. Griffith Thomas said, it implies the entire unrenewed life lived apart from God. So there you have it. It's not just, it refers to the drunkard who's in the gutter throwing up. No, that's not necessarily true. It would include that, but it's not limited to that. I'll repeat. It implies the entire unrenewed life lived apart from God. And it should be carefully observed that this does not necessarily mean a gross, vicious life. For the flesh, as unrenewed, may be educated, refined, and cultured. So there are some people that are educated, refined, cultured, yea, religious, and still in the flesh. They've never been saved. They've never been born again, you see. And by the way, the flesh can be very religious, too. Sure it can. A lot of religious people are not saved, you see. And according to the Bible, it's unacceptable to God. God is not pleased with it. Chapter 8, verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. No matter how religious they are, they cannot please God. No matter how sincere they are, they cannot please God. Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. That's so important to understand. Therefore, those who are born again are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8, 1. And they walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let's move on. We have the two natures. Another thing here, the two tendencies. There's two natures and there's two tendencies. Romans 8, 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So a man lives according to his nature. And if he lives his life in the flesh, well, then he'll mind the things of the flesh. So that's simple. Man lives according to his nature. If he has a carnal nature, then he's going to live after the flesh. If he has a sinful, spiritual nature, then he's going to live after the Spirit. The whole bent and tendency of a man's nature will be towards that which actuates him, that which drives him. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. If a man is carnally minded, well, that means his whole mind is occupied with carnal things. He's carnally minded. His life is occupied with the things of the flesh. That's what appeals to him. That's what drives him. That's what pleases him. That's what makes him happy, the things of the flesh. And so you say, come on, my house for Bible study. That doesn't appeal to him because his mind is all carnal, you see. And those kind of things, a prayer meeting, a Bible study, going to church, hand out gospel tracts. That doesn't appeal to him, you see, because his mind is carnal. If a man is carnally minded, he's occupied in the things of the flesh. If a man is spiritually minded, look at verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. These are the two tendencies here. If a man is spiritually minded, well, then his life is centered around the things of God. He wants to please God. So he likes to pray. He likes to read his Bible. He likes to share the gospel with others. He likes coming to church. He likes getting the gospel out. He's concerned about missions and soul winning and things of God, you see, because he's spiritually minded. See, that's the difference here. Two tendencies. Some have a bent towards carnal things and some towards spiritual things. Now, Genesis chapter 1, you don't got to turn there, but Genesis 1 verse 11 refers to the tree yielding fruit after its kind. So we have this reference to the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind. In Genesis 1, we see the phrase after its kind 10 times. 10 times after its kind, after its kind. Now what I'm trying to get at is what's true in the physical realm is also true in the spiritual realm. It's true in the spiritual realm as well as the physical realm. Regarding man's character and his conduct, fruit always comes according to its kind. So if a man's carnally minded, then nothing but carnal fruit. If a man's spiritually minded, you'll see spiritual fruit. That's just what the Bible teaches. There's two tendencies here. The outcome of carnality is death. The Bible is very, very clear on that. The outcome of carnality is death. And the outcome of godliness is life and peace. Look with me, please, at Romans 8, 6. For to be carnally minded is death. That's the result. That's what it leads to. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, death in the Bible means separation from God. That's what death in the Bible means. Those who die without Christ, what does the Bible say? They suffer the second death. Eternal separation from God. You see that repeatedly in the book of Revelation. Revelation 2:11, Revelation 20, verse 6, and Revelation 20, verse 14, Revelation 21:8. They suffer the second death. They're separated from God for all eternity. So death here means separation from God. It includes physical death. But much worse than that is the second death, spiritual death, eternal separation from God. Now, that's for the carnal person. The carnal mind, verse 6, to be carnally minded is death. Now, how about the spiritually minded? But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, that refers to everlasting life. Not just eternity in heaven, but to the quality of life in this earth. When the Bible says you receive Christ, you receive everlasting life, doesn't just mean when you die, you go to heaven. That abundant life, that everlasting life, that eternal life begins the moment you get saved. It refers to the quality of life. It's a better life. It's a sweeter life than the life we lived before we were saved. See? That's the difference between the carnal and the spiritual. You know, three times in the Gospel of John, the Lord said, he that believeth on me hath, right now, present possession, hath everlasting life. That's John 3:36, John 5:24, John 6:47. Didn't say he that believeth in me will have everlasting life. Think about that. He has it right now. So it's a quality of life, not just the duration. It's going to last forever and ever. That's true. It is going to last forever and ever. So that's what eternal means. But it's a quality of life that begins the moment you receive Christ. That's the true tendencies here. You see, they that are after the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You see? Now, those that trust Christ receive everlasting life. But what about those who don't believe in Christ? John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But the Bible says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So just like it doesn't say he will receive everlasting life. No, it says he already has everlasting life. It doesn't say the wrath of God will abide on him. It says the wrath of God already is abiding on him. He's condemned already, according to John 3:18. Condemned already. Now, back to Romans 8. Verse 7 says, because the carnal mind, that means the mind of the flesh, the carnal mind is enmity against God. Enmity is a strong word. That refers to hostility against God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's opposed to God. He's at enmity with God. Enmity refers to hostility. opposition, hatred. You know, that seems like it's hard to believe. How can a sinner be so wicked? He hates God. But remember, Romans chapter 1, verse 30 refers to sinners as haters of God. They hate God. It's frightening. We have a lot of people right here in America, which is supposed to be a Christian country, who hate God. They hate God. They not only love sin, but they hate God. So, the carnal mind is enmity against God. Enmity refers to opposition, hatred, hostility. Hatred not only for God, but for the things of God, for the Word of God, for the Church of God, and so on. Now, the carnal mind, we're told in verse 7, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. In other words, it's not submission to the law of God. It refuses to obey the law of God. You see? And neither indeed can be. It's unable to submit to the law of God. Now, if it's unable to submit, why? Because the flesh has them, they're in bondage. They're in control. The power of the flesh is too strong. So they refuse to submit. They're unable to submit. They're totally enslaved to sin. You see? The carnal mind is not subject. It's not in submission to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. Unable to submit to the law of God because of the power of the flesh. Only the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit can deliver a sinner who is controlled by the flesh. That's what Romans chapter 8 is teaching. Only the power, a higher power, a greater power, the power of the Holy Spirit can deliver a sinner who's enslaved with sin and controlled by the flesh. Again, look at Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life, that's the Holy Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free, or delivered me from the law of sin and death. You see? This inability to submit to God, this inability to please God in the flesh, we saw that in great detail in Romans 7, and we're reminded of it again tonight in chapter 8. Inability, unable to please God, and hostility, and that's what enmity means in verse 7, characterize the carnal mind. The carnal mind is characterized by inability and hostility, opposed to God. So here we have the two tendencies. We have the two natures, carnal and spiritual, the two tendencies, minor things in the flesh, minor things in the spirit, and then the two spheres. Let's look at the two spheres. The two spheres are described in verses 8 and 9 as in the flesh and in the spirit. Now, if you'll study this carefully, you'll see the chapter begins with after the flesh and after the spirit. But now we get down to verse 8, it's in the flesh and in the spirit. Verse 8. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, but you're not in the flesh. If you're saved, you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. So it went from after the flesh to in the flesh, after the spirit to in the spirit. Two spheres here. We are in the spirit. Now, and unsaved people are in the flesh. Now, if any man, reading from verse 9, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That means, quite plainly, a man who does not have the Holy Spirit is not saved. He's none of his. He's never been born again. Referring to the phrase here in verse 10, and if Christ be in you, notice not only is the Holy Spirit in you, Christ is in you. I'll say more about that in a minute. You've heard, you know, people say, you receive Christ. Yeah, you receive Christ. Christ is in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Bible says. Now, refer to this phrase here in verse 10, where it says that if Christ be in you, the body is dead. The body is dead. Frederick Gaudet said, the human body bears within itself, from its formation, the germ of death. It begins to die the instant it begins to live. Now, I know that sounds bad, but it is biblical. In other words, I went to the hospital Monday with my wife, and we saw that precious little baby. But let me tell you something. That baby was born with a sinful nature. Now, if Lynn was here, she'd say amen. She knows. Her dad was a pastor. I mean, she knows the Bible pretty well. She'll know that's true. You see? that sinful nature. So I'll repeat that quote again. The human body bears within itself from its formation, from the moment it's conceived, the germ of death. It begins to die the instant it begins to live. Isn't that something? That's what Paul here says in verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But here's the good news if you're saved. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So we're alive because of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now the body of this, let's look at this a little bit here. The Bible says here in verse 10, the body is dead. Look back at chapter 7, verse 24. Go back to chapter 7, verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The body of this death is the body of sin that we're born with. Look at chapter 6. Go back a little further. Chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, God wants us to know this, that our old man, that means our old unregenerate man, sinful man, our old man is crucified with Christ. Watch this now. That the body of sin might be destroyed. In other words, rendered inoperable. That's the idea here. Schofield Margins is done away with. Now, here we have the body of sin, Romans 6, 6. Romans 7, 24. It's the body of this death, right? Now, we can go back even further, because Romans 5, verse 12, explains the introduction of sin and death. Sin and death came because of Adam and Eve. Let's go back to Romans 5, verse 12. Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world. Sin came through Adam. And death by sin. So first, sin came into the world, and death followed, because of Adam's sin, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's why Romans 6, 6 refers to the body of sin. That's why Romans 7, verse 24, calls it the body of this death. Remember in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, the Lord said to Adam, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof," what did he say? "Thou shalt surely die." Well, he ate of it, and people have been dying ever since, you see. It hasn't changed. Things haven't changed. So we get to Romans 8, verse 10. Romans 8, 10. The body is dead because of sin, even if Christ be in you. Doesn't change anything. We're all going to die. Unless, of course, the Lord was to come back tonight, we'll all get raptured up. But, you know, as a general principle, there's a point that the man wants to die. Thank God there will be a generation alive when Christ returns. Now, the body is dead because of sin. Romans 8, 10, even if Christ be in you. But, he says, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Romans 8, 10. Now, what does that mean? Well, it's this. It's like this. The Bible says Christ is in us and we are in Christ. It's a beautiful thing about this. How about this? The Lord Jesus said this in John 14, 20. John 14, 20, Jesus says, "At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father and ye in me and I in you." John 14, 20. So we're in Christ and Christ is in us. And because we're in Christ, and Christ is in us, we have victory, and power, and peace, and eternal life, according to Romans 8, verse 11. Romans 8, 11. But if Christ, for the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead. What Spirit is that? Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, and if you're saved tonight, the Holy Spirit does dwell in you. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that means make alive, your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. When will that take place? We got our resurrection bodies. You see? So now we're stuck with this body of sin. The body is dead because of sin. But thank God, because we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, and because we're saved by the grace of God, Christ is in us, we will be resurrected. We'll have resurrection bodies, you see? So, this is what Romans 8 teaches. Now, some have taught that the Spirit in Romans 8 and verse number 10, some have said that this is man's spirit, specifically the spirit of the regenerate man. But you notice the King James Bible has a capital S to indicate the Holy Spirit, and I think the King James translators were correct to put a capital S. I think it is the Holy Spirit. The context indicates it's the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 9. It talks about the Spirit of God. That's the Holy Spirit. Verse 9 also talks about the Spirit of Christ. That's the Holy Spirit. And then verse 11, the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead, the Holy Spirit, you see? And then by His Spirit that dwelleth in you, the Holy Spirit. So all the other references to the Holy Spirit, I think in Romans 8:10, it's also saying, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is life because of righteousness. You see? I believe that's what Paul's saying here. When man is born again, his human spirit is indwelt, sealed, possessed, directed, governed by the Spirit of God. So even if someone was to say to you or say to me in verse 10, that's talking about the human spirit, it doesn't matter because the human spirit is connected now to the Holy Spirit when a person is born again. Quicken in verse 11, like I said, means to make alive, to give life. So the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is our guarantee of the future resurrection of the body. Now, let me quickly summarize what we've come so far, and Lord willing, next week we'll continue in our study in Romans 8. The Holy Spirit delivers the believer from the condemnation of the flesh. Verse 1, there's no more condemnation. Secondly, the Holy Spirit delivers the believer from the power of the flesh. That's what we're seeing here in the verses we looked at tonight. We've been delivered from the condemnation of the flesh, and we've been delivered from the power of the flesh. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit delivers the believer from the power of death. That's what Paul's saying here, that the Spirit is life. And if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So the Holy Spirit delivers the believer from the power of death. We've been delivered from the condemnation of the flesh, power of the flesh, and the power of death.